Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.
All right, this is Dan, as promised, Wes Blakey with us this morning, and he brought Joel Hansen with him too.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, both of you. It's okay so far. A little foggy yet.
Looks good.
It's not snowing yet, but
streets are dry yet.
Yeah, for now. Well, as we started visiting a little bit before we got on the air here, I said that's how I thought we'd start anyway. It's Wayne is in a snow emergency, so Joel, you're in charge of that particular department, so explain to everybody what exactly a snow emergency is all about.
Sure. So the snow emergency base means you can no longer park on the street during the snow emergency. So whether there's during the day, overnight, either one, not allowed. We declared the snow emergency fairly early yesterday because we found that it's difficult to get the word out to everybody. So you're relying on the radio, social media, multiple accounts that hopefully people are tuning into one or multiple of those areas so that they learn. But again, as especially the social media to get shared over different pages, people are more apt to see it. So we've learned that we don't want to just declare that 3 or 4 hours ahead of time because people probably won't realize it. Really unfair to the public to start ticketing cars if they're not aware of it. So we try and be early with it, which is it's difficult because the forecast doesn't always hold up from 12 hours ahead of time. Like we want to be 12 hours in front if we can be. And like now this storm has slowed up. So now one time we thought we'd wake up and come to work with some snow starting to fall. And now it sounds like closer to noon before we maybe really see much. So, always a little tricky. I wanted to declare that this snow emergency we've scheduled last till Thursday at noon. We may have to extend that if the storm slows down enough to where we don't have all the snow cleared off by then. Again, the forecast totals you see watching kind of the Sioux City stations, TV stations and National Weather Service, their updates, it shows we're anywhere from 12 to 14 now at the top end of that snowstorm. Yep. And heavy and wet. And so the reason for the snow emergency is those big trucks don't exactly turn on a dime trying to go around a corner or back around dead ends and things where we have to move those trucks around. And if we have some ice or some of the storms we've had ice, they also don't get around. Most of them are four-wheel drive, but we do have one that's only two-wheel drive. So, you know, if you're on a hill and you start sliding with those big trucks, there's so much weight, there's just no way to stop it. And the last thing we want to do is hit somebody's car. So that's the reason snow emergency. It also allows us to plow the snow all the way off of the street back to the curb. You know, we didn't have a lot of snow the last couple of years, so people maybe think, why is that a big deal? Well, if we get multiple storms like this one, all of a sudden the snow, we can't push it back any farther, and now it starts to creep out farther and farther in the street, and we've got narrow streets to drive on through the wintertime. So that's really the idea of that snow emergency. Get the cars out of the way. Let's get all the snow as back as far as we can and give us room for the next storm that may come along.
Okay. Well, it hasn't started snowing yet, so if I went downtown right now, could I park on Main Street?
You can. So we use some common sense with that, even though snow emergency. We realize those downtown businesses are open, and so that's kind of been the policy. As long as people can move around and we're not out pushing the snow yet, we realize, go ahead and park down there. But if you see the crews coming out, then we're going to ask that you start to think about, you know, do you need to close up shop to get your employees home? If we're getting heavy, wet, 6 inches of snow falling over the next 2 or 3 hours, it's time to think about, okay, we've got to get the cars out of here so we can get the snow moved.
So use common sense.
Use common sense.
At some point in time, you will start ticketing people if need be.
Yeah, and I think some of the residential areas, they did start ticketing already this morning. So,
okay. Be aware, everybody.
Yep. Stay safe.
Yes, that's the big thing. And you want to add anything to that, to Wes?
Not really. One thing that I just wrote in a Looking Ahead article just this morning was also something on when you clear your snow, be respectful of your neighbors. It's actually illegal to push your snow, I'm going to call it your snow, your right-of-way snow, into your neighbor's right-of-way or across the street into somebody else's. Keep that snow on your property or on your, I call it your right-of-way because people think, you know, your property goes all the way to the street, which in fact it doesn't, but we think that. So just keep that snow on what you consider your property.
Okay. Be nice.
Yes, Dan, just be nice.
Okay. Or call Joel. He'll come do it for you.
Well, we don't do snow removal for people, but we do have issues when they push it out in the street and leave it sit if we've already came by. Yeah. What'll happen is it's going to freeze down and create a big ice mound, and then your neighbors have to drive over that. You're backing out your drive over that. You know, if we are about and you've pushed your snow out in the street, we're going to put the blade down. We're going to put it right back in your driveway, and our snow blower is a little bit easier to maneuver around than your snow blower. So that's we don't want to get in that tit for tat thing with people. It's like just and like Wes said, be mindful of your neighbor. You know, if you get these big piles of snow along the street, when we push snow, that blade has to exit the snow off to the side, and that's why it fills up your driveway if you've already scooped it. And with a big snow, there's obviously a lot of snow coming. So no, we can't turn those blades every driveway we come to. We'd never get anything accomplished. So we just go with that blade. And again, I realize the snow from the street has went to your driveway, but that doesn't mean you can put it back in the street. You need to put it off to the side out in the right of way or the terrace we call between your street and your sidewalk rather than shoving it back in the street.
Okay.
Yeah, I would also add that they also have to have a certain amount of speed to get that snow up and over the curb. So you can't slow down. Like I said, you got somebody out scooping their sidewalk and you think, oh, they sometimes plow you in. Well, like I said, they can't stop or turn on a dime, and they also need some speed to actually get that snow up into the right of way.
Okay, we'll all survive.
We will.
We always have.
And you know what? We need moisture. I know people don't like in the form of snow, but we need moisture.
Yes, I've been thinking that all along. Yes. Got to get something sometime. All right. Well, that's enough about snow for now.
Enough about snow.
I'm sure we did something else at the city council meeting last night.
We did. We didn't talk about snow at all last night, I don't think. No. So, yeah, we did a lot of things, Dan.
Okay.
About an hour and a half meeting or so. You want me to start with, we have a new fire department member. Riley Prokup was unanimously approved. He'd been on the fire department over in Thurston. So he's from Thurston and working for Robert Whaler and Sons. So we welcome Riley to the fire department.
Had several of those lately.
We have. That's good. That's good because our numbers have, I think, slipped under 30, and we can hold up to, I think, upper 30s or low 40s. So if you're interested in joining the volunteer fire department, contact Phil Monahan, the fire chief. He'd love to have you.
All right.
All right. Other things that happened, some bigger items. Matthew Smith with Olson was there to present the Prairie Park project. We've been talking about the old lagoon area being developed. And he kind of presented what they've been working on with the Stool to Cool committee. And then ultimately, we approved plans and specs for what I'm calling phase one down there. And that will include stormwater management, moving a lot of dirt for stormwater to get the roadways, not call them roads or streets, they're roadways or driveways, getting ready for gravel to be put on at this point. We haven't determined which of those roadways will be a hard surface. I think that's to be determined because this is going to be an expensive project, a huge investment into the community. So we're also stormwater roadways. We know where additional ball fields are going to be and some of that type of thing. It's about a $1.9 to $2 million project, we think. That's what the engineer's estimate is, just like I said, for that phase one. Then like a phase two would come through and we would put in water and sewer. We would look at electrical stuff. We would look at building those fields and that type of thing in phase two and maybe even a phase three. So long ways away from being completed, but I think you'll see a lot of action down there this spring and summer. It was mentioned last night that it may be a messy, messy summer. Construction is messy. There's no way around that. We'll do whatever we can and really make it a priority for the contractor, whoever gets that bid, to make sure that there is access to those ball fields.
We'll
do what we can with the trail and all that kind of stuff. We've talked about maybe redirecting some traffic to a temporary trail system or a short little segment to get people where they need to be. So bear with us for a few months there. Hopefully we get a contractor on board in the next month or so, and we can start that project, dirt moving, maybe as soon as April. We need to make sure that the lower rugby fields where soccer is going to be played this spring, that will be taken care of before they put any soils on that, spoils, I should say, on that area to build up that that area.
So there hasn't been a specific contractor picked to do all that work yet.
So we just approved the plans and specs last night. Mm-hmm. That'll be out advertised, and I believe the last week of the last meeting in February is when we'll award that bid.
Okay, so the people who design it don't build it. Is what you're saying.
You're correct.
And so now we got to hire somebody else to actually build it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Moving on, we also talked. So Olson was there to talk about that, and then JEO, another engineer, our city engineer, was at the meeting to talk about a couple projects too going on. We're going to be putting in the sewer line. I call it the center alley between Sherman and Blaine from 2nd to 3rd Street, because there's actually three alleys platted in that segment. So the center alley currently has a private line that we know of at least six houses that are on. And there's been some issues with that line. Last night I was throughout the word, what's the philosophy? It's a philosophical question. Should my sewer be closer than my neighbor's sewer to a city, main? And in this situation, you've had these homeowners that have been on a private line since the sewer was put in, and should they be on a city main? And I think the answer is yes. Then it's a, who pays for it type deal. The city is going to pay for this project. These folks have been paying, sewer fees since the beginning of their sewer usage. And so, again, I think they deserve to have a city main in front of or down the alley of their property. So I guess council agreed with me on that. And so there will be no assessments back to the property owners for this project. We know there's other projects like this that are going to need to take place in town as well, where there's private sewer lines connected to other, like a private main, that we don't do anything with private mains. And so when there's a problem, it falls all back on the homeowners. And which homeowner? All six of them? Are they all going to play nicely together and repair something? That's where it gets really touchy. It'll be a good project to do. The engineer estimate on this is $135,000 for about a block of sewer. There's a little bit of 3rd Street and an alley that'll be torn up and have to be replaced with concrete. But I think that'll be a nice project when it is all said and done. Hopefully we can get bid out here, same type of time as Prairie Park. And so hopefully that work can be done, early summer or so this year.
Yes. I never knew there were private sewer lines.
There's more than you think, Dan. the bigger issue we usually have is shared water lines when one water line breaks and now you've got two people out. So there's water lines that have been shared and there's sewer lines that have been shared. So when we find this out, one will repair their sewer line and then we have the next person go right in alongside them in the same trench, their own sewer line. So they're not sharing. So when there's blocks, it's not affecting their neighbor. It's only affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, and how many people know exactly where their sewer line runs, or if their sewer runs into their neighbor's sewer that runs into a city main? I mean, you don't know those things. Those aren't the questions you ask when you're buying a house. Now, some people do. Some people do know that, but that's either people with construction background or what they do with their
I don't homes. Know.
Yeah, exactly. I know because I have a newer home, so I saw them build it, but otherwise I wouldn't have any idea.
Okay.
Right, enough about that.
Yeah.
Joel, you can chime in anytime you want.
Enough about sewage.
Well, Dan, enough about sewage. Next item is about
never mind.
Sewage.
Yes, maybe there is more about sewage.
So we approved, we have a UV project that is going to be constructed, and we awarded a bid last night to Philip Karkowski Construction and Trenching out of Loup City, Nebraska. They were the low bidder. Okay. They did our Aquarius project where we had to take out our system, our baffles, and they did a really good job on that. So we're very confident in their ability as a low bidder to do this project as well. So that will be taking place sometime in the course of probably summer, fall. It's not an immediate need, but we need to have it up and running, I believe, in spring of or in fall of 2024. So they'll probably do work this summer and fall to have it ready for next year. This next one, Joel can talk a little bit about. We bought a skid loader, and he can talk about how fancy it is and a attachment to it. Some toys, Dan. Joel got some toys last night.
Okay. What do you want to use this for, Joel?
Well, the big replacement item was a 1975 Fiat Alice motor grader. And people that have an alley near them have maybe seen this piece of equipment. That's the only thing we really use it for, is to blade the alleys. And we'd rebuilt the engine 3 or 4 years ago. There had been some maintenance work prior to that. And this summer, there was a lot of work in the alleys. Black Hills Energy was replacing a lot of gas mains. So we went through and rebladed everything, rocked things. And on the last alley, the operator was going on. I actually happened to be about a block away when I heard the explosion. And so the engine blew up on it, and there's hard to find parts for it anymore. Again, it's nearing 50 years of age, so it's just time to cut our losses on that thing. And when you mentioned toy, we affectionately called that our Tonka toy, but it's served a good, useful life, but it's time to move on. So what we've done is we're purchasing a track compact loader, is what they call it. It's kind of like a skid loader, but it's with tracks on it. Wayne County has one. It's a size bigger, so it'll be something that we're somewhat familiar with. Works good in snow as well with those tracks on it, so it'll have multiple uses. But with that, we'll have a special attachment. It's called a CH adjustable grader, and it kind of is a combination between a small maintainer and a box scraper. So it should work well. It'll be two blades to it. The first one is serrated, so we can use this piece of equipment down on the softball road and stuff. I can maybe rely on Wayne County's maintainer. They've been very gracious and helping us out by doing the work, or else allowing us to borrow a maintainer. But you know, in the past, that's kind of been hit and miss. We now have a need that we know we have to blade those alleys through town at least a couple times this summer, if not more, if there's work going on. So we really felt like we needed to invest in some equipment. That track loader, like I say, can use all the current attachments we have with our current skid loader and our tool cats for park and rec. So there's multiple departments will make use of that machine. But it really, the main purpose or need for it was to replace that motor grader for our alleys.
Okay.
He said it much better than I could have, Dan.
I'm glad you brought him.
The next item was just a payment to OCC Builders, Audi Construction, for the Freedom Park Trailhead project. That's the old swimming pool house.
Right.
The project is slower than we had, I guess, hoped in the beginning. But our grant funding does not run out until 24 in that, so we've got some time. Sewer lines are more important right now than that type of a project. We're giving OCC Builders some time to do that project. So that was approved. Mini retreat was set for January 31st at the Wayne Fire Hall at 5:30.
What are we planning for the mini retreat?
You know, the mayor talked a little bit last night, because I think the question was, do we need to have another one? And one, because we had one in November. And his thought was, this is the time that council can talk about what are some of their, you know, their wishes. What would they like to see in the community? We did that a couple of retreats ago, and that was very good, to go around the room and each council member talked about, this is what we want to see happen. You know, is it to update City Hall or a new City Hall? Is it a certain trail system upgrades and stuff? And so I think it will be a good one for that type of thing. We don't typically take action at retreats. It's just more of a brainstorming sessions, or to bring the council up to speed on some things. We're not talking about electricity yet. That's likely at the next retreat. And then we'll have to hit that really hard with substation and generation possibilities with that. So that is January 31st. That's the fifth Tuesday in January.
At the Wayne Fire Hall, it says.
Fire Hall, yep.
Okay.
I'll come back to our public hearing and land purchase. We skipped that last night. We went to Emeritus Life Insurance Corporation property, and then we came back to other land acquisition. But Emeritus update, moving forward, obviously, with that purchase. I'm going to meet with a couple of architects in the next couple weeks to see what they would charge us. to do the renovations inside, to drop some things for the inside and some exterior work as well. And so that project is moving forward. The nice thing about that one is that it's not a huge time commit. I mean, that we're not crunched for time to get in that building. But as the mayor said at a meeting I was with the other day, he said, we're not going to sit on it. So there will be progress made on that, hopefully in short time. Okay. And then the last item we had a public hearing and then a resolution. On looking at purchasing some property to the northwest of Western Ridge. And there's property there that is about 79 acres. It's farm ground right now. Steve Meyer, Brent Pick, Mark Meyer own that property. And it's been being farmed on a part of it. And the other part has been where Steve's been taking dirt off for his business. And so we've come to agreements on purchasing that property. The purchase price right now is $1.6 million of 79 acres. Works out to be about $20,000 an acre. And it's contingent on receiving a grant. So we have a grant to submit tomorrow, and it's for $1 million. So that money would go towards purchasing of that property. And so if we don't get the grant, we'd go back to the drawing board, and there'd be null and void at that point. So we need to get the grant, and we need to get the grant in full for $1 million. The grant pool, the fund pool, there's $10 million for the whole state, and we're going to ask for a tenth of it. So we think we have a very good project, but you don't know what the funders will look at. They may say, hey, we have 40 projects here, and we're going to give $250,000 to everybody, or that's the correct math. Yeah. And so, I mean, they may do that, and if they do that, that's great. That's $250,000, but that doesn't go nearly as far as $1 million for land purchase. So we'd have to come back to council and discuss that and see, do we want to continue on that same road, or do we want to look at a different piece of property, or let it lie at this point, I guess you could say.
And so, what are we using this property for?
It would be for subdivision. It would be like a Western Ridge. I'm calling it Western Ridge 2.0. Joel made it, I believe it's Western Ridge 4, because they've had different phases along that in that area. And this expansion was going to be phase 4, where you want to explain that a little bit, Joel?
Sure. So when subdivisions are planned, they get named. And so the acreage that sits up there west of the Western Ridge subdivision, as everybody calls it, is actually Western Ridge First Edition. What we refer to as Western Ridge, right next to the cemetery with the park and the trail, is actually Western Ridge Second Edition. And then Western Ridge Third Edition would be all the property west that's commercial, with the new Family Dental Clinic, Hopkins Eye, Dollar General, Herman Chiropractic, Baumgar's Auto Anatomy, all those businesses are Western Ridge 3rd. And so basically this would be if they were going to stick with the Western Ridge theme, it'd be the 4th edition as far as subdivisions go.
So the purpose would be for residential.
Yes. And again, most people think there's one Western Ridge out there. So that's why I call it Western Ridge 2.0, even though it's Western Ridge 4.
Okay.
Let's not get complicated. It's complicated. But yes, it would be for residential development. And it's very expensive. We've looked at the hill, where it's actually in a redevelopment area. What that means is it's TIF eligible, tax increment financing eligible. Streets, water, sewer, all that stuff is so expensive right now. Mm. You're looking at possibly $6 million to develop that area, just the top part of that property, about 30 acres. And so it's very expensive. We'd look at other grant opportunities, not just to purchase the property, but then to put the infrastructure in. We'd be looking at other grant opportunities too.
Of course, eventually you get your money back when people purchase.
You would, but if you do the math on that, Dan, if you take, you know, we could get maybe 100 lots or so in this area. You divide that out by, you know, $6 to $7 million. Those are very expensive lots. They've got to be subsidized somehow, because you're not going to pay $60,000-$70,000 for a lot. I don't believe that the market will hold that. You probably need to get those lots down to 20 or 25, and that's going to take some real subsidies. And that's either through, like I said, this grant, other grant opportunities, revolving loan funds that we can get very low interest, and sometimes there's a 25% waiver of those funds, so you don't have to pay those back. There's a grant component to it. But yes, we would make money back on sale of the lots, but then the long-term goal is you're getting property taxes off of it. You're getting water revenue, sewage, and electrical. So
okay.
it's the long term, I guess, goal. And it's not a 20-year payback. It's a 120-year payback.
So, okay.
But we need additional housing in the community, single family housing in the community.
Another way for the town to grow, yes.
Absolutely. Yep. So that was the meeting, Dan.
Okay.
It was pretty full. It was a good discussions.
So. Okay. And the Emeritus deal, is that as a final decision had been made, we were definitely going forward with this?
Yes, we close the end of January on that property.
Okay.
So that is happening. And again, that is in conjunction with the church property that is just to the north right. of the building. And then that also includes Emeritus has that parking lot on Logan Street. And we did talk a little bit about that as well. Joel, I don't know if you want to chime in on that. We talked about snow removal in that lot. When we own it.
Correct. So right now that lot is marked as private property, 24-hour restriction. But we've noticed the last few weeks some of the neighbors have started parking in there. So I came to the council and asked a question. Come February 1st, we get 15-inch snow. Are we supposed to go in there? Are we supposed to push the lot? Are we supposed to get the cars out of the lot? And so last night they kind of came to the conclusion we're just going to take down the private property sign. And if somebody's parked in there, they're parked in there, but we're not going to remove the snow. So if they find themselves they can't get out, they'll have to scoop themselves out.
Okay. You've been warned.
You've been warned.
Okay. Anything, heard anything new lately on Jimmy John's?
Jimmy John's, end of February, first part of March is still what we're being told.
Okay.
I don't know where they're at with construction inside. I've not been in that building for months. We just know on the outside, the part that the CRA is responsible for is done. So parking, yeah. Robert Whaler and Sons did that project for us, did a great job with that. Had to deal with some weather issues where it got really cold really fast and then thawed out. And so, but we got it all done. That retaining wall and the drive-through was all on us, and we got that done. And so, yeah, the hope is end of February, first part of March. The last time I talked to Sam Nixon, the owner of that franchise.
Okay. Things keep moving, I guess.
Keep moving, Dan.
All right.
Another thing, the CRA, Community Redevelopment Authority, purchased a house at 721 Main Street called the Brown House in that same area of Jimmy John's up the hill.
Right.
They did purchase that house and will be raising that house.
Okay.
So we have to do some asbestos abatement and we'll be raising that house hopefully in the next few months.
Okay.
Raising is tearing it down.
Yeah, I knew what he meant. But
sorry, tearing it down.
Some people might not know what, yeah.
We're not moving that one.
It's not R-A-I-S-E, it's R-A-Z. Okay. Now you can go.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Wes Blakey and Joel Hansen again are guests today in The View from Wayne America.
The View from Wayne America.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.